Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Chris Chin here. Before we get into it, just want to give a shout out to the 49ers. Huge win last night at the Rams. I should have gone to the game here in Los Angeles, but didn't. But nevertheless, fantastic game. Probably one of our best regular season wins in the last couple of years, considering you're playing a division rival. You're on the road, although it was almost a home game in Levi's South. And yeah, it's as shorthanded as they were, just major props to Shanahan, Mac Jones, and the Niners. And now you get 10 days to go rest and get healthy. All right, let's get into what I have today for the Warriors. Four X factors for them to make a deep postseason run, you know, get past that first and second round, maybe make a finals run, maybe more, kind of depends. So no, I'm not saying that the Warriors are going to win the championship. I'm not saying they're not, but these are the things that if they do happen, maybe three of these four things, maybe all four happen, and then I could see the Warriors legitimately making a run at into that tier of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Denver Nuggets. I guess you can conclude the Houston Rockets in there. I think Warriors will be right there with at least a couple of those teams if they can follow these four X factors. So I'm just going to start with the man himself, Steph Curry. You know, we've seen it all from Steph. You know, obviously Steph is who he is. He is him. He is the team. Where can we see a little bit of improvement in his game? You know, not just him, but just collectively to maximize Steph. I think Steph can be getting into better shot selection. And by that, it's a little more complicated than just what you're choosing to take. It's about giving him the correct spacing, which I think the Warriors have done a great job of adding Al Horford. You have Quinton Post, obviously, to space it as a five, which Kerr is calling a space five. And you added a bunch of shooters around him, and including two-way players. So I think you're going to get a lot better spacing from him. And what I want to focus on when I'm talking about shot selection is you can still shoot as many threes as you want, but he had a very tough time, you know, getting to the hoop last year. He had a tough time kind of, you know, in that mid, kind of like within that 10-foot range. And, you know, he's just not quite getting the space when he attacks to essentially finish at the hoop, where he used to be, other than Kyrie Irving, the best finisher in the league. And he still finishes well, but man, it's just, he there is, you know, putting his body on the line, getting hammered every time he attacks, which is why he doesn't really until like the second half of the season or later. And he's just not finding a ton of space because there's bigs in the paint and there's just a lot of bodies in there because we haven't had a space five, a space four. I like using this new terminology, but what we know is a stretch four or five, which I think this year we're going to have a lot better spacing. So last year, Steph Curry shot a career high 62% of his shots from three. So yeah, he's never shot that many threes. And again, that's fine, but you need to be able to take advantage of getting into the hoop, getting into the lane and finishing at the hoop, where last year from 0 to 3 feet, so essentially layups, getting all the way in there. For his career, he shot about 15% from zero, sorry, 15% of his shots from 0 to 3 feet. Last 3 years, 10%, 7%, and 8% of his shots were basically at the hoop. Again, so you're talking, you know, last year at 8%, you're basically saying about half of your shots are at the rim than they used to be for your career average. So he's just not getting all the way into the hoop. And what's happening is he's really just being forced to settle before he gets in. He's taking a lot more of that like 3 to 10 foot shot, which is still a good shot for him, but it's not a layup by any means. You know, it's that really like kind of that short mid-range. And last year, you saw a lot more of those. He shot about 18% of all his shots combined over the last 3 years on average in that 3 to 10 foot range. Whereas for the rest of his career, that's been more like 11%. So you see, you know, like he's shooting more shots in that 3 to 10 foot range than he is getting all the way to the hoop and by a good amount, almost double that. And, you know, for that to be better, you need a little bit more spacing. You need just, you know, better everything, better screening, better ball movement, some baseline cutters, just everything that creates a little bit more space for him to get all the way into the hoop and finish at an efficient rate and get back to being one of the best finishers in the league. So to sum it up, you know, I want more efficient 2-point shot selection from Steph. shot, I think, a career high from that like 10 to 16 foot range, so kind of that deep mid range, where he's as good as anybody in the league. But we want him to get a little bit closer. And so now, if you can get all the way to becoming, a true three-level scorer finishing at the hoop, that's when Steph's at his best. And that's when you're going to see him getting close back to, 27, 28, 29 points per game. And hopefully not get hammered as much as he's attacking the hoop. And, sure, you can draw fouls where we love to see him, but I do not want to see him hitting the floor and risking his 30. Almost 38-year-old body. So first thing, get better shots and better spacing for Steph. I think that can happen. It's going to be up to Steph as well. But again, the roster around him, that is going to be a huge improvement from the past, 3 seasons. Number two, I'm looking at our number two guard, Pajemski. Yeah, we'll have some Melton in there, but especially the first month or maybe a little bit longer, it looks like it's Pajemski's role to essentially run away with, mid-30s minutes, and I would assume he's going to be starting and probably closing games at that two spot. And I just, which pods are we going to get? Are we going to get first half of last year pods where he couldn't shoot anything from three and every missed shot, it looked like it was affecting him on both ends of the floor, and you can see he's getting frustrated. And it's one of those things that you love about pods is how competitive and how high expectations he has of himself. But you can't let it affect you. And I just don't want him to get off to a slow start, especially shooting the ball and get into that little funk that he had gotten into last year, which lasted almost half of a season. So we need pods to grow as a scorer, as a shooter. In the last 22 games after the All-Star break, pods averaged 15 and a half points per game. That's when the Warriors were at their best. They were on that huge win streak. Essentially, once they got Jimmy Butler, was I think they got Jimmy like 7 or 8 games before that. So we really caught our stride. Pods caught fire. I think our team rating with pods on the floor in those last 22 games was plus 11 and a half points. Very, very good rating, especially offensively, where he shot 44% from three and 46.5% from the field, compared to about like the 43, 44% he was shooting in the first half before the All-Star break. Obviously, we need that second version of pods, not the playoff version where it's kind of up and down and you kind of saw the streakiness, but we need pods to just continue to be a 40% shooter from three. He needs to be able to space the floor. It unlocks so many different lineups. You need to continue shooting that mid-range, right? You saw him just kind of get more confident in that mid-range game. We've had guy, that Tim Kawakami has basically said pods is just he doesn't have a jump shot, and he's never going to develop a mid-range. Well, you saw a little bit of it last year. It's not quite that slow set shot, but he can find a way to the elbows, find his way to the nail, knock down. He shot about 48% from like 10 to 16 feet last year. I was surprised to see that. I mean, that's up there with the best mid-range shooters in the league. And he doesn't shoot it a lot, but I think he starts to get a lot of confidence in it. And his game expanded once you kind of saw him be able to get to that mid-range. He's like, hey, you know what? I can knock this down 1 out of 2 times. That's efficient. I don't need to get all the way into the basket where he's a crafty finisher, but leaves a lot to be desired just because he's just not the most athletic or a lengthy finisher. Finishes good with his left, obviously, is offhand, not the best right-handed finisher. I'm glad he got that little running hook shot out of his selection, but essentially needs to kind of just get back to being able to finish in that mid-range and not have to force himself getting to the hoop where he can struggle. And it seemed like his best move finishing at the hoop was that little D cell where, he's kind of getting in, basically stops on one leg, time freezes over, takes that other step, finishes. Seems like the league caught on to that after maybe a couple of weeks of it. Still can be in your bag. I don't hate it. You saw him get a little bit of away from it. I didn't see too much of a D cell finish come the playoff time, but get that back in there. Find a couple other finishes at the hoop. Keep that field goal percentage up near 46, 47%. You can improve just, your shot making, which heading into that third year, pods, he's a shooter in college, little streak in the NBA, but you don't shoot 44% over a quarter of a season from three if you're not a good shooter to begin with. And I believe Pods is a good shooter. Now, can you do it at that mid-range level consistently? And can you also find ways to finish at the hoop? I'd like to see him get to the line a little bit more, right? We see Pods on the ground all the time. doesn't get to the line as much as you would hope. Again, it's just because he's not the most explosive, quick, athletic guy like a Kuminga getting to the hoop all the time. But find a little craftiness, take something from Jimmy, do a little foul baiting yourself, find your way to the line, and you need to be shooting over 80% from the line, Pajemski. Additionally, with Pods, just a little bit better on-ball defense. It's not his strength. He's great off-ball defense, obviously draws a bunch of charges, can overhelp at times, but obviously sees the floor well and just, you know, almost anticipates too early sometimes. Not worried about his off-ball as much as on-ball, especially because in some of these lineups, you know, with like Steph, and then if you're going to like a three-guard lineup and, you know, who knows what combinations you're with, but, you know, there could be times you're with Steph and Buddy and Pajemski's in there and you're going to need to be a better on-ball defender and really hold your own. Comes with getting stronger. That'll affect your whole game. But Pajemski, I'm going to call this X factor number two is just Pajemski just becoming a more efficient shooter, scorer, and continuing to score in that 15-point range. And with that, that opens up a ton for the Warriors in both your starting and closing lineups. And as a backup two guard, as a backup combo guard. Number three, speaking of backups, I'm looking at the bench unit, right? The second unit, the one with Steph off the floor, it's always the X factor for the Warriors, and it's something that got a lot better with Chris Paul in past years and a lot better even than that with Jimmy Butler coming in last year. So what does the Jimmy unit look like? Can it continue to build on what it does well? Can it play good enough defense? Because what I know you need to do with Jimmy, who wants to be a point forward in that lineup and be a distributor, he wants to basically almost be like Jokic, where you're just getting him the ball down low and he's just looking for cutters and posting up and finding shooters. You need to add as much spacing as you can around him. I would think that you're putting Kuminga in almost all of these lineups when Steph's off the floor for all the many reasons that Steve Kerr hates playing Kuminga with Steph on the floor. He just really doesn't help Steph in terms of all the little things and spacing. So you're going to have to probably play Kuminga with that second unit with Jimmy a lot. How do they coexist? Can Kuminga and Jimmy, just like you saw in the playoffs, you know, can Kuminga really be a slasher off that backside? Can he catch and shoot and space the floor enough with that unit? Can that offense work with Jimmy, Kuminga, and three shooters? You know, I'm looking at, you know, at the center spot, Horford's always the answer at center, but you're going to have to obviously give him enough rest. So can that unit work with Quinton Post at center? Yeah, he'll space the floor well for you, but defensively with that front court of Post at the five, Jimmy at the four, Kuminga at the three, does that work defensively? I know they like to play a lot of zone with Post in there. Can Kuminga operate off ball enough to play a good zone defense? We know his best trade on defense is as a point of attack defender. So what's the kind of give and take there? Because you're probably going to get a lot of Quinton Post, Jimmy Butler, Kuminga lineups paired up. How does that work on the defensive side of the ball? Also, if you're adding more shooters in, you know, you're talking about, you know, Batman and either Robin or Alfred, that being Buddy Hield in that lineup, and or Seth Curry, you know, that's your shooter with Jimmy out there. That's not helping the defensive side with that unit. So you're going to have to get some sort of a point of attack two-way player. Fortunately, you have that in potentially like Melton, potentially in Moses Moody. Pajemski might run with that lineup a bit. So, you know, how does the defense work there? I think, as we've talked about it with Pajemski's on-ball defense, you're probably going to need either Melton or Moody in there. Or you're taking JK and you're making him the point of attack defender, and then you're kind of having to put a little bit more size in that front court. Different combinations. I'm curious to see how it works, and you know, it's a little give and take in terms of giving spacing and shooting to a Jimmy lineup, but also being able to cover defensively. And that's always the question with the bench unit, right? Steve Kerr's been playing around with a lot of one-way players for the longest time. Your GP2s, your Buddy Hield. What's the right balance? And you're going to be tinkering with lineups probably for the first couple months to see what works here. Fortunately, there are more two-way players on this roster than there used to be, so it does solve a lot of problems. But it creates another problem because those two-way players, that being Melton and Horford, you're limiting their minutes. You can't overuse them. They're both either old or coming off injury. So yeah, you want to use those as your aces in the hole, but you can't play them 30 plus minutes each. So someone's got to step up and something's got to give. So I want to see what that second unit, you know, if that unit can be a plus. We already know what the Steph lineups do, you know, best lineups in the league offensively, net rating, defensive or second unit. Can you win those minutes? I believe with Jimmy Butler and enough spacing, you can. Lastly, number four. Well, we all know it's Jonathan Kuminga. X factor number four. Can Jonathan Kuminga make the leap? Can he buy into his role? Can he do XYZ that we've been saying all offseason? What does that look like, right? In Steve Kerr's words, it's rebounding, it's running, it's defensive activity. It's, I guess in other people's words, it's off-ball instincts. It's cutting off ball. It's setting screens off-ball on offense. On defense, it's, hey, can you rotate a little bit faster? Can you get to spots? Can you not foul? Can you just see things and be a little bit more instinctive? You can jump out of the building. Why are you only averaging like 0.6, 0.7 blocks per game? Can you be a rim presence? You want to help on that backside? We just talked about that post and Jimmy Butler lineup in the front court with Kuminga. Can you give me a little rim protection on that backside, Jonathan Kuminga? You're going to have your head on a swivel. You're going to have to be active. It's not something that comes instinctively to him. Can you train yourself as a almost 23-year-old to start to see the game differently? And that's where it all begins, right? You have to be able to just see the game, react to the game, and just basically just change the way your reflexes are working, right? His natural just kind of like reflexes, I'm off the ball and I'm just going to kind of settle in. I'm going to have my guy in front of me and I'm good. But that's when the work begins, right? It needs to be, hey, I'm off the ball. Where can I make a play? You know, where can I come in for a steal? Where can I help for a block? Can I step in and take a charge? You know, just communicating all these little things that are probably not natural to him. Can it become natural? No excuses, every reason in the world to be a better defender. We see what Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, veterans like Al Horford, Steph Curry, they improve everybody, just their presence and just holding players accountable. It's your time, Kuminga. Can you step up and just raise your instincts? What does a Kuminga, I don't want to use the word breakout, but what does a Kuminga successful season look like? It's all those intangibles, right? I don't want to get caught on statistics, although I'm about to give you what I want his stats to look like. So can you do all those little things that aren't necessarily in the box score to raise like your net rating in the lineup? But then on the flip side, here's what I want your stats to really be, okay? So I want Kuminga to essentially, he's probably going to play like 28, 30 minutes per game would be my guess here with this team. Can you get up to 18 points per game? Very reasonable. If you continue your natural growth rate and you're being just a more efficient scorer, you don't need to take many more. I don't want necessarily more shots. He takes plenty of shots and maybe, you know, take of the shots you take to take two of those bad shots and make those higher quality shots. And you're going to see your efficiency grow. I want him to be back up at 52% from the field, 18 points on 52% from the field. He's done that 3 years at 52. Last year, I think he was at like 45%, not nearly good enough. From 3-point, that has to get better. No matter how many you're shooting, I need you to not be at this like 30 or, you know, I think last year was at 30%, year before 32%. You need to be up at like 35%. And I actually want you at 36% because I know you have it in you when you're taking good ones and when you're getting consistent minutes and you're in your rhythm. He is kind of a mid 30-ish percent 3-point shooter. I believe if he takes the right ones, he can be there. Can you continue getting to the free throw line? Averaged about what, like 5 free throws for last year. Usually like depending on how many minutes he's playing, like 4 or 5 free throws a game. Keep that at 5. Can you get your average up to 75%? Did it a couple years ago. I need you to just continue raising your rates on your free throw percentages because you get there so much and those are just points left on the table. Rebounding. give me 5.5 rebounds in those minutes, 5.5 rebounds. That's at least like league average. I would like you to be closer to 6, especially if you're playing kind of more power forward minutes at times, But I'll be realistic here. And if you're going to be doing all these other things, I'm okay if you're at like 5.5 rebounds, which is up from like 4.6 last year. And, you know, if your minutes are up from, what was it, 24 minutes last year to like 28 this year, those rebounds should grow by at least one, if not 1.5 rebounds, closer to six. Assists, yeah, give me three assists. 2.8, I'm happy with for sure. He's kind of like a 2.2 assist guy. Ball's in his hands a lot, but yep, give me a little bit more assists, because that means you're seeing the floor better, and that just kind of ties into the theme of just everything with your growth and just your IQ of the game. And then activity on defense. Steve Kerr kind of hit on this. It doesn't necessarily mean more steals or more blocks, but if I'm measuring your activity on defense, especially off ball, I need you up at a steal per game. You're just so athletic. You're on ball. You're lengthy. You're quick. Steals get you out in transition. I mean, God, if Kuminga gets a steal, it's almost assuredly at least 2 points back the other way, or he's getting to the line. Get that steal up from, what was it, 0.8 last year. Get that up to a steal per game. Blocks, same thing we talked about earlier. He's averaging less than half a block a game. Get that closer to 0.7, 0.8 blocks. Jump out of the building. Do what you want to do. Just jump. Don't foul, but just be there and help. So ultimately, those are the numbers, right? About like 18 points per game. Oh, what'd I say? Like 5.5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, like 0.6 or 0.7 blocks, and then good percentages. That's a successful season. That's where you're probably seeing the Warriors with, you know, being 15, 20 games over 500 and maybe holding on to him for the long run, or having immense trade value because this guy is blossoming. The last part I'll say about Kuminga, and then we'll give it a break for I don't know, until the next time, but shot efficiency. So I dove a little bit into like what shot selection he's taking and kind of how he was. Last year, from 3 to 10 feet, right? So kind of not getting quite to the hoop, but that little like that short mid-range, 3 to 10 feet, he shot 45%. Career 49%. He needs to be closer to 49-50% on those. That 45% not going to cut it. 10 to 16 feet, the shot. I don't really want you taking unless it's late shot clock, but nevertheless, 32% last year. Career 39%. Did not shoot that well last year. 16 feet to the three-point line. The shot we want you shooting the least. Doesn't shoot a ton of it, but just to kind of give you a glimpse of what last year looked like, just him shooting the ball. For his career, he shot that at about 31%. Last year, shot it at 17%. And then lastly, corner threes. For his career, 35%. That's not good enough from the corner. Last year, 28% from corner three. That's the shot. If anything, you have to be able to knock down that corner shot, because if you can play from the corner, you're given spacing and you can obviously cut baseline from that dunker spot, that baseline runner. So I need that corner three has to be up closer to 37, 38%. So yeah, those are my four X factors to the Warriors making a deep run. It again is Steph, you know, using the newfound spacing and just becoming more efficient inside the arc on just that, you know, getting to the hoop all the way. More so second half of the season if you're preserving your body. It is Pod's growth as a scorer. Obviously, he's going to have to play and make as well, but can you be a more efficient shooter, keep your percentages up, and basically be the guy you were the last half of last season? It is number three, that second unit, that Jimmy unit, you know, figuring out the right balance between giving Jimmy enough spacers and shooters around him, and then also being able to provide front court defense and just defense overall and being a net positive. And then lastly, Jonathan Kuminga, just everything. Honorable mention, Moses Moody. Can you emerge as a true 3-and-D type guy? Can you be a 38 to 40% three-point shooter? Can you continue to develop as a point of attack defender? Can you fill in the gaps as a, you know, off-ball defender and as a late play offensive, late shot clock offensive player where you're attacking the rim and finishing, which he did better last year than he has in the past? So can he continue to develop? Overall, blueprint seems pretty much obvious, right? Can your star be a star, and can your young guys continue to develop? That's all I'm asking. That's what I think we have a decent chance of seeing. And then by that logic, I think the Warriors can make a run and at least get to the Western Conference Finals, where we'll see what they have. All right. Let me know what you guys think. Did I miss any X factors? Do you guys disagree, agree with what I got. But getting close to the season. So give me a like, give me a follow, subscribe. That way you make sure you don't miss any of my videos. I'll try to be coming to you at least 2-3 times during the season and after games. So stay tuned for some Stack and Dubs, guys. All right. Appreciate you guys. I will talk to you next time. Have a great weekend. Peace, love, and Stack and Dubs.